Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called His church to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And that is our endeavor as the heart of Christ Church, to truly be enveloped in those three commands which are the heart of Jesus Christ. So as we go forward in this day, may we continue therein the teaching of His Word, that we would truly be transformed to be the image once again that the Father has given unto us through the Son, that it may go forward, that all may be changed. To that avail, we are once again preaching, and this is my last installment on War and Peace, just a little three-piece series here. And today, we're going to be looking at the rules of engagement. How many of you would least like to know the rules of engagement in life? You know, we all come into this world, and there's no instruction manual. Well, actually, there is. It's called the BIBLE, which stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Very good. I was going to wear that t-shirt today, but I thought, man, it's too hot to wear a t-shirt over a shirt. But you all know it. The Bible is our basic instructions before leaving earth. But I want us to understand, as I said, when we come into Christ Jesus, when we look at this reality, you are either at peace with God and at war with the world, or you are at peace with the world and at war with God. May I get an amen on that truth? Because that is the truth. That is where we are. And all of us, from the time of our birth, are at war with God because we are born into sin. Now, there have been at least one man that we know of that from birth he was in the Lord, and that was John the Baptist. How many of you remember that in his mother's womb he leapt for joy? So when we think about that, there's one man, yes, he was born into sin, but he was born into a reality that many of us don't understand, because from the moment of his birth, he was already in the Lord, but yet he was a sinner who still needed salvation, amen? And he understood that. Well, you and I know that Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And do you think Jesus is going to leave us fighting this fight without giving us instructions, or, as I call it, the rules of engagement? No, he wants us to be prepared. So today, I want you to be prepared, and that's our number one. That's our very first point, is to be prepared. How do we get prepared? You all know it. I'm not going to preach a whole lot on it, but we're going to read it. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. You all know it. We've already looked at it once in this series, and we're going to look at it a second time in this series. This is Ephesians chapter 6, and we are going to read verses 10 through 18. Because again, we need to understand that you do not go into battle unprepared. How many of you go to the swimming park without your swimming suit? Don't answer that question. I don't want to see hands in the air. We all get prepared for the things of life as we go to work in our lives. I was a machinist. I would go to work. I had my work clothes. They were at work. They stayed at work. And I would go in. I would change my clothes. When I went out, I was not soiling my clothes, because my wife would kill me if I brought that dirty clothing home, because it was disgusting. It stayed at work. It got washed at work. And every day I was prepared to go to work. I had shoes that I put on. I had safety glasses that I put on. Depending on what I was doing, I would wear a respirator, etc., etc. We get prepared for what we're getting ready to do. God wants us prepared also. And he says to us thusly from the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen? God here is telling us what we need to do to get prepared. He does not leave us as naked children out there on a battlefield. He gives us the armor that is necessary to protect us because he understands that this is a spiritual battle. So the things that he gives us are spiritual weapons, spiritual armor that we are literally prepared for the battle. And one of the things that I want us all to realize is not that any one of these pieces is any less important than the other, but the one I cherish the most is the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because God guards my heart in Christ Jesus. And that's going to be important when we get to the end of this teaching. Because the heart is the most valuable piece when it comes to being in the war. I can talk to any soldier here. You can have it in your head, but if it's not in your heart, you're not going to go and you're not going to succeed. When the heart and the head get it lined up, Brother Wendell, how hard is it to defeat a man who knows his place and purpose? And that's what we need to understand. When your heart is protected, when you know in your head, that's the helmet of salvation. How many of you have already received that? We put it on all the time, but we need to cover this heart. And that is covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And nothing can penetrate the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the point I need to get across to you. The salvation, you're sealed. The Holy Spirit is there. But the heart needs to be protected. Why? Because Jesus knows if Satan can get an arrow into your heart, you're a dead man walking. Can I get an amen? But God does not want dead men or dead women walking. God wants us dead men coming to life and living into this battle and understand that we can bring people from death unto life, because that's the battle. I taught you that last week. We are to fight the good fight, that we are to bring people to life. We're not in this to take people out. We're in this to bring people in, into the kingdom of God, into life itself, and into the salvation of Jesus Christ. Our world tells us we're haters. Our world tells us we're bigots. Our world tells us all kinds of stuff. And I'm here to tell you right now, that is so funny, because is it not what the evil one does? The things they do, they accuse you thereof. And we know that they are the haters. They are the ones who are leading people unto death, taking them astray, taking them captive, beating them down, and keeping them oppressed. Can I get an amen? But in the lifeblood of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us have new life. And not just a physical life, but a spiritual life in Jesus Christ. Be prepared. You cannot go into this thing unready. And therefore, keep on praying. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you want to get powered up, you better get prayed up. Because if you want to get up at all, that means you got to get down on your knees. Because when you are on your knees, that's when God raises up a holy man or a holy woman. Because there is power in the word of prayer. The one shirt I have, and I love it. It says to us, I was on my knees and Satan thought he had won until he heard me say amen and I looked up. Because God not only gets us to look up, but stand up as holy men and women of faith, ready for the battle, because we know the battle is the Lord's. Can I get an amen? And we are simply his minions, and we will go where he telleth to go, for in his armor we are fully protected. I want you to think about Brother David. There was little Brother David, 14 years old. He's out there on that battlefield looking at all these mighty men who won't go out and fight this giant. And he says, well, I'll go. And the king says, oh, well, you can't go like that. Can you imagine this 14-year-old shepherd? He probably had a loincloth on and, you know, maybe something thrown over his shoulder because he was out there in the sun tending the sheep. So, you know, little 14-year-old kid, think about that now, probably wearing gym shorts and a T-shirt, right? He's out there, and boy, he's ready for battle, ain't he? Well, the king says, I'll tell you what, let me give you my armor. Can you imagine a 14-year-old kid trying to put on a 6-foot-6 man's armor? Good glory. He could swim in the helmet. He looked at him and says, nope, this won't work. This is how God has prepared me. I'm going out there. And when he went out there, you see, none of us realized that when he went out there with that sling, he was fully prepared. Because not only did he know who his God was and that his righteousness covered him, but in his nakedness he standeth before a holy God. And in that he stood fully prepared because all he needed was that sling and those rocks. And I amaze myself when I think about the fact that he didn't just go get one. He got 5. Why? Because Goliath had 4 brothers. He says, Lord, I'm not going to take him out, but if any of them other boys come, we're going to take them suckers down too. And that's the way God wants us to be prepared. He's given us everything we need. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you going into the battle in the fullness of Jesus Christ? Because that's what he wants. When we go in prepared, there is no giant that can come against us. Nothing can stand before us. Because I'll tell you right now, when he let that sling go, he hit him on the shoulder, right? No, he hit him right between the eyes. And down went the giant. And I love this. Oh, I love this. Here's little David, 14 years old. He goes out there to that giant. Now, all he got is a sling. He didn't have any weapons other than a sling. How's he going to finish this dude off? So he pulls out the giant's own sword, his own devices, and he kills the giant with his own devices. Do you get the point? God knows who's winning the battle and he knows who's losing. And those who are losing because of their own choices, not because we're not coming with truth. He came with the truth. He said, how dare you come at me with this little boy? Well, I'm going to come out there and devour you. He says, no, I come at you in the name of Jehovah, who is God, and there is nothing that's going to defeat him. Who are you, filthy Philistine? We need to remember, was he prepared? Oh, brothers and sisters, he was prepared. He was pumped up. He was prayed up. He was ready to rock and roll. And he went into battle, and I'll guarantee you what happened. All the Philistines ran. And when they ran, that's when the Spirit of God finally caught up with the rest of the idiots that were back there, because a 14-year-old boy was prepared for the battle and led them in. And when you come in under the power of the Lord, you will rout your enemy. And that we need to remember. But for us, New Testament, it is not to root unto death, but to root unto life. It's a difference. So therefore, we have to say, okay, God, you're preparing us. You're giving us this armor, and we know we're ready for the battle. How many of us are ready for the battle? Man, I want to get my sword out. I want to get my shield out. I'm ready to rock. Give me my AK-47, Lord. God says, no, you don't need it, for the battle is mine, because I'm going to show you a different way to fight. What is that different way? God, you've given us all this armor. You got us all pumped up. How many of you are ready to go? And then he says, now, come unto me, little children, because I have something to teach you. Because you see, God wants us to have the true rules of engagement in the kingdom, not on earth, where these things wish to tear down, kill, and destroy, but the kingdom that brings us up from the ashes unto life and gives us a new life. What does that look like? Well, do you know Jesus himself told us? His words, not mine. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. I'm a preacher now 27 years I'm a preacher now. In fact, it'll be August, and I will be preaching 27 years. Praise the Lord. And I do praise the Lord, because I'll guarantee you I couldn't do it without Him. I don't want to do it without Him. But in 27 years, including myself unto you, I've never told you this. Do you realize Jesus was telling us how to fight the fight with the Beatitudes? He was setting the rules of engagement. The entire Sermon on the Mount is the rules of engagement in the kingdom. And we don't get it, because pastors aren't preaching this as spiritual warfare. But how does God want us to come? Look at what He says. Verses 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Did not every prophet prior to Christ prepare the way for the people to battle? Did not every prophet before Christ warn of the impending doom if you didn't turn to God? Didn't the prophet tell them the direction they needed to go? Was he not giving them the rules of engagement unto life? And here, what did Jesus just tell us? This is the way you are to go, because you are now prophets. Each and every one of you now is a prophet unto the Lord, unto life. And we have been prepared for the battle. You and I need to understand, we do not fight the way the world fights. We do not fight with weapons of destruction. We fight with weapons of life. We fight with gentleness. We fight with kindness. We fight with love. We fight with respect and honor unto people. We fight by bringing the truth of Jesus Christ into the foreground, but remembering the armor is there to protect us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you saw the movie The 300? Okay? There's a scene in that movie, and I was going to try and pull it up, but I figured that's going to be all kinds of copyrights and everything, so I didn't do it. Where they're standing there, and they said, we're going to shoot all these arrows, and it will be dark. And the guy says, well, then we'll fight in the shade. And the next thing you know, they launch all these arrows, and it was literally thousands of arrows came at them. What did they do? They put their shields up and covered themselves with their shield, and not one of them was touched. That's how we fight. The evil one is going to throw all his stuff at you, because he wants you to get angry. He wants you to get mad. He wants you to act in anger. He wants you to accuse somebody. He wants you to get so riled up that you react rather than respond. And how many of us are guilty of that? Boy, I know I am. I know I am. So we've got to come back to this place of understanding. There is ways that we are to engage. And when you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to read it in a different sense this next time as you read it. Throughout this week, you're hearing this sermon. You out there on the internet, you're hearing this sermon. I want you to read the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. But I want you to understand, Jesus is drawing you into the battle, and he's giving you the rules of engagement that each and every one of us are going to need, because if we are operating under the rules of engagement, we are operating under the headship of our commander-in-chief. And he is obligated to protect us with the full armor when we are operating in the premise that we are under the full authority and command of the commander-in-chief. Now, does that mean that we can't be critical? No, not at all. What do you mean? Well, let me put it this way. Can you be critical without hurting someone? Yes. Yes. You speak the truth in love. What does that mean? Come on, we all know what that stuff means. It means that you speak the truth to an individual, realizing that they are going to hate you because of what you're saying, and they're going to retaliate against you, but don't take it personally. Remember, you're the messenger. You're the messenger. So take their stuff. I take it all the time. But that doesn't mean that I can't respond with a little bit more aggression, where I'm saying, no, wait a minute. You know, we just had this conversation in our new members. Well, they want me to call them they, them. I said, well, that's improper, because if they really truly believe they're non-binary, that means they can't be plural, because non-binary means singular, right? So they can't be a they, them, because that's plural. So I have to say you. Huh? Yeah, you use their own ideologies against them. And that is exactly what God is talking about here. We have to understand the opposite is true. Satan lies to us. He always tells us the opposite of what God really is. He tells us that we're doing all this stuff to tear things down, when who's the one tearing things down? He is. We're the ones trying to build it all back up with morality and the proper respect of God and man, and putting us back into that position because Christ has given us that position. That's what it means to be meek. That's what it means to thirst for the Word of God. When we begin feeding these people the good food of God, which is the Word of hope, the Word of life, all of a sudden they begin to want some of it. They may not understand it all at first, but you continue walking. And sometimes, you know, I hate to say it, but all of us know when we had little ones and they didn't want to eat, sometimes you had to force feed them. You know, I think about that right now. My little grandson, he positively refuses to take his medicine. Well, so what? Do I let him win that game? Absolutely not. I can remember when Russell, God help him, was going through cancer. Dad, that medicine tastes terrible. I said, yes, son, it tastes terrible. But if you don't take it, you will die. Was I saying something wrong? No, I was telling him the truth. Is the truth scary? Yes. But you tell him the truth. This is going to hurt. You know, oh, the doctor's going to give you a shot. Oh, don't worry, it won't hurt. Yes, it will. Tell them the truth. This is going to taste horrible. But it'll give you life. Why does the word taste horrible to those who aren't in Christ? Because they've never tasted it before. I have to laugh. I'm going back to little Emery, all right? Because this is all new. It's right now in my brain, but I know it's happened to all of us. The first time you tried to feed your baby green beans, they just sucked them up and thought they were wonderful, didn't they? No, they spit it all out and started crying. Did you give up? No, we keep coming back. You see, persistence is one of the things that keeps the Word of Christ alive in our own lives. Because we need to remember how many of us, you know, and again, we got to think logically here. You know, when we were babies, my mama didn't give me ground up roast beef. The first food I ate, and you all know this, what was it? Rice cereal. There's a lot of nutrition in that, ain't it? Well, there was some. It was what I could take. And that's what we have to remember. That's what God's telling us to do here. And do you get somebody to take something by being arrogant, mean, obnoxious, and crude? No. We do it with gentleness, love, mercy, grace, and kindness. And that's exactly what Christ is telling us here. We need to understand there are rules to this engagement. We can get all pumped up, and that's a human thing. And I know I can get you all pumped up. I was just at the mountains twice. Do you think I can't get you pumped up today? Woo! I'm already pumped up. I'm on cloud 14, and I don't want to come down. But the reality is, this is where we do our work, isn't it? Down here in the real stuff. And that's where the muck and the mire is. And we can trot out there with all that armor on. And what happens with you when you got all that armor on and it's you doing the fight out there in the muck and the mire? Yeah, thank you, Brother Chuck. I got Wendell over here going, oh, man. Chuck's over here. Yeah, because when we are the ones who have to empower that, we get stuck in the mud and the mire. But when we go into it in the full authority and power of Jesus Christ, those spiritual pieces of armor have no weight because God carries them in and through and on us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, everything that happens, happens under His protection, in His sufficiency. And we can accomplish the goal to which we are sent. But we have to stay within those rules of engagement, because it is only in those rules of engagement that have come out of the very mouth of God that each and every one of us will succeed in the task to which God has sent us. When you step outside of those rules and regulations, when you step outside of the rules of engagement, now you are looking at borderline court-martial. Brother Wendell, what happens when you get court-martialed for breaking the rules and regulations? You go to jail. Is there a spiritual jail for Christians? I like to call it the prison of discipline. And yes, I've been there a time or two. And the folks that are here that know me know it's a real place. And there is affliction there. And we all know what I'm talking about. Because God wants us to fight in the right way. Because when we're fighting in the wrong way, we're not bringing anybody into the kingdom. We're literally pushing people away. And God says, I'm going to correct you before you get things too wrong. We've had this conversation, haven't we, brother? I'm talking to one of my elders. Because all this stuff, we don't realize the conversations that we have out there and about literally revolve in our church, that God uses those conversations because He's trying to prove to us all a point, that we are on the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. There is no one who cometh to the Father but by Him. Can I get an amen, church? So therefore, we have to fight with His rules of engagement under His headship and in the authority of the Holy Spirit. Because as we do, as we go to war, we will find that the peace of God is our sustaining power. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 12, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in the 12th verse. I'll wait until I see some pages stop flipping. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in the 12th verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And can I get an amen? You and I are to understand this as I spoke it earlier. When we think about the peace of God in our hearts, that he is going to guard our hearts, it's understanding that once the heart is tainted, once the heart has been afflicted, we begin to move outside of what we know is right. So therefore, always put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we walk in the righteousness of Christ. That's what it means when it says that we are to walk in this with gentleness, patience, peace, and kindness. Because as we do, we need to remember we're going to be fighting some real fights, and there's going to be some nasty words spoken at us. There's going to be attitudes coming at us. That doesn't mean you don't get to have a little bit of attitude. How many of y'all like a little bit of attitude every now and then? It's called the spice of life. And if you read in chapter 5, verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. We are to be salty. We are to bring it back on them, all right? But in gentleness, love, patience, mercy, and kindness. Not in arrogance, self-centeredness, and egotisticalism. That's the world. We come in Christ. That's why that breastplate is so important. That we are covered in the righteousness of Christ. That our heart is right. That our motive is right. Because as our motive is right, God brings us what? Peace. And from peace comes peace. From anger, what comes? Anger. You know, how many of you, when your mom or dad was mad at you and growling at you and smacking your butt, were happy and joyful and, oh, this is fun? No, we know how it works. Throw out anger, receive anger. Throw out peace, you may receive anger back. But if you stay in peace and you keep giving peace, what's eventually going to come back? You know, when Jesus talks about casting your bread upon the water and after many days it will return to you, yeah. Folks, the scripture speaks to us. So yes, we need to be men and women of faith, standing on our principles. That means we don't compromise. Can I get an amen? We do not compromise. Me being kind and gentle does not mean I am a doormat. Can I get an amen, church? But it means I'm going to love you in spite of your ignorance. Remember, Jesus came to cure ignorance. We can't cure stupidity, but we can cure ignorance, because ignorance is not knowing. But let us be men and women of knowing, and let it be known to all peoples. For finally, dear brethren, when the evil attack is coming against us and we are standing under the rules of engagement, having been prepared, so too, remember, this is called what? This sermon is called what? War and peace. When we're at war, we will find peace. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Come on, there we go. I'm at Philippians 4. Philippians 4. This is the reason I chose the song when we began, Our God Reigns, because of what it says here in this scripture. Because I cannot rejoice without realizing that our God reigns. Can I get an amen, church? Because in that I can rejoice. Because I know he has won the battle. I know he has won the victory. And it's understanding that. And from that, let us begin in the fourth verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your what? Hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Brothers and sisters, that's not my words. That's the apostle's words unto each and every one of us, because that's what was given unto him through the power of the Holy Spirit for the church. Dwell on the good things of life. Yes, see the bad that is out there, and we can all see it. Don't dwell on it. Dwell on the good. Dwell on what God has told us. Dwell on the blessed bees and be blessed. Why do you think when I sign every email at the bottom of it, it says, be blessed and be a blessing? I think a lot of people, and y'all know me, I raise honeybees. They think it's a throwback to my bees. No, I didn't spell it B-E-E. It's B-E, okay? Means you. Be blessed in the Lord. Receive His power. Receive His grace. Receive His compassion. Receive His mercy. Receive all these things. But now go and be a blessing, giving those things unto the world. And as we do, the God of peace will always be with us, and He will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, you don't go into a battle confident unless you know you've already won the war. And we've already won the war. How do we know that? Well, I think we've all read the back of the book, and we know who wins. Can I get an amen? And we have believed it. And brothers and sisters, that's the end of the story. It is war and peace. We're going to go to war with this world. But in so doing, we will find the peace of God carrying us the whole way through. But we have to stay within the rules of engagement. Don't go outside of them. Stay in them. And in that, you will find the strength of God to do the very work that you're not capable of doing, but that He will use you to glorify His name and bring other brothers and sisters to life. Can I get an amen? In that, let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much for this beautiful day. And Lord, we thank You that while we are at war, we know there is truly peace. Peace between You and us, and peace coming into this world as the Lord Jesus will finally one day stand on the Mount of Olives and bring it all to an end for a period of time. And then the final battle at the very end of all time, and then eternity rolls in. We long for those days, O Lord, but all of this stuff within time is for us to learn about You, to learn truly our position in this world and in the creation that You have made for us. So may we learn well. May Your glory be shown. May Your mercies be known. And may Your salvation go forth and win the many unto the Christ. And may our lives truly yield to the heart of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.